Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be $46 a month higher compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code Howie50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday. I am so excited to be here. I hope you all had a nice, relaxing weekend and you're ready to go because we have a lot to talk about. A lot of news broke over the weekend. I think the one that I am seeing the most of still today is the fact that Hillary Clinton, in all of her glory, had a deplorables comment, but she really ramped it up. In fact, compared to Hillary Clinton's infamous deplorables basket comment from 2016, this latest comment, I mean, it makes that one seem nice. It makes the deplorables comment seem like she was being very generous and lovely towards Trump supporters. Now she has gone rogue. She's no longer pretending to be civil. She's no longer pretending to try to unify the red and the blue. She is just openly showing off her disdain for half the country. And I want to...
She's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
She's the worst. She's the worst. Yeah, well, it's funny because what a lot of people don't really remember about the deplorables basket comment is that she was taking all of Trump supporters and she was separating them into two baskets. And the first basket was the deplorables. So technically, she was only insulting like roughly a fourth of the country. Now she's just openly not even caring about that. She's not worried about offending people. She's not worried about... And this actually makes me wonder if she's really not running for president. Because to double down on this is really ensuring that you're ostracizing so many voters. So perhaps she really did find her passion in that new project she's doing with her daughter, Gutsy Women, interviewing Kim Kardashian and other women. Maybe that has scratched the itch that Hillary Clinton has been waiting for. And maybe being president is no longer something she wants to do. But I have a really hard time believing that. Deep down, I really do. Because this woman has felt entitled to the presidency for decades, and she is someone who loses over and over and over again, and she's never come to terms with the reason why. And the reason why, of course, is because Hillary Clinton. People do not like her. I know it's sexist and misogynistic, and I'm a chauvinistic pig for saying this, but she has a likability problem.
Honestly, she's the worst. She's the worst person in the world. She's the worst in the world.
And by the way, as a woman who has, for some people, I'm not very likable either, but I'm not trying to win over the entire country. That is what she's trying to do, or it's at least what she has been trying to do. And so now, based off her latest comments, and I'll play it for you, I am starting to wonder if she's just throwing in the towel here. This is Hillary Clinton talking about the moment where a lot of people at a Trump rally held up number one, and there was this QAnon theory about how it was some sort of sign.
QAnon theory.
Right, a BlueAnon theory where they made it seem like it was something from QAnon. And Hillary, of course, has to pounce and seize and weaponize on this. This is cut 11.
I remember as a young student, you know, trying to figure out how did people get basically drawn in by Hitler. How did that happen? And I'd watch newsreels and I'd see this guy standing up there ranting and raving and people shouting and raising their arms. I thought, what's happened to these people? Why did they believe that? You saw the rally in Ohio the other night. Trump is there ranting and raving for more than an hour, and you have these rows of young men with their arms raised. I thought, what is going on?
When in doubt, as a liberal, a hard and fast rule is when in doubt, bring up Hitler. In the words of the guy from Anchorman, 60% of the time works every time. They cannot help themselves. They go straight to Hitler in most scenarios. John Berman recently, if you remember this, he couldn't resist. Just couldn't resist. Almost stopped himself, actually. Took a moment where he acknowledged how idiotic what he was about to do was. And he still did it anyway. Like, he put up the bumper in his mind that said, hey, don't do this. Drawing parallels between a Ken Burns Holocaust documentary and illegal aliens going to Martha's Vineyard for 44 hours is a bad idea. That's like the devil on his shoulder, you know? The devil on his shoulder is going, make the comparison. The viewers will love this. This will finally put you over the edge. They won't switch you out for a different time slot. If you just compare what's happening with illegal aliens to the Holocaust, that will save your ratings. And then the angel saying, it's not a good idea. It's not true. People won't like this. Which one did he go with? The devil, of course. He works for CNN. So he makes the comparison. Or no, he says, I'm not making a comparison, but it's hard not to draw parallels. Whatever that means. I don't know where you are.
I'm not making this comparison. I'm merely voicing this comparison.
Yeah, that's what they love to do now. They say, oh, and by the way, there's absolutely no comparison to this and Hitler. None. And then all of a sudden you hear, but... And at that but, you know, here it comes. Here it comes. So he has to make that comparison. He has to, draw those parallels. And now you've got Hillary Clinton doing the same thing, comparing Trump supporters to Nazis. Tolerance. Can you feel the tolerance? Can you feel the unity and the civility? And, you know, the weird thing about Hillary is she told me, I'm trying to find this cut, Jared, she told me that civility would be restored once Democrats were back in power, because that's how civility works. You only have to show it when things are going your way. That's like the definition of civility. If you can be civil when everything is going great for you, it's totally okay to turn into a massive liar pushing the Russian collusion hoax for years and undermining American democracy, undermining the presidency, because you have sour grapes. That's civility in a nutshell for Hillary Clinton. But don't let any of this bother you, because I know it's starting off Monday and you're probably thinking, oh, great, your blood pressure is getting high. No. Don't let this get you down, because all this tells me is that they are, and by they, I mean these Democrats, they are desperate. Despite the attempts by their cheerleaders in the mainstream media to hype up Democrats' chances in the midterms, to talk about how the red wave is dissipating, the polls are telling a different story. And when you think of it, a lot of conservatives are making this point. And I'll cite some of them coming up. Powerline Blog, Red State, a lot of good stuff out there. But a lot of people are making this point, which I didn't really think of. You've heard people talk about for decades now, the silent majority. You know, people who maybe support Mitt Romney or support Donald Trump or support, you know, you go throughout the elections, they support the conservative candidate, John McCain, for example. But they don't put a sign up. You know, they work for a liberal company. They don't want to put a bumper sticker on their car. They don't need to get in trouble with their neighbors who they really like, who happen to be massive liberals. So they just keep it to themselves. That's a phenomenon that's been happening for a very long time. Now, here's the part of this I didn't even factor in until I read a story today. When you have the president of the United States calling MAGA supporters semi-fascist, when you have Hillary Clinton comparing Trump supporters to Nazis, when you have Representative Hank Johnson, who he's moved on from the Guam is going to tip over theory, and he's moved on to any parents who are going to school board meetings are MAGA extremist followers. When you have a Las Vegas journalist who's killed by a disgruntled Democrat for reporting on him, and you have a teenager run down by a political nut in North Dakota, I mean, are we really supposed to believe that none of this is having an effect on the voters like we did in 2016. These numbers have to be more skewed than any other election in history, because people are not going to voice their support for Republicans if they're being demonized by the highest leaders in the land. And another thing I didn't think of is the fact that you'll see sometimes approval numbers for Joe Biden. And let's say, I think today they're like 39% in the latest polls, but let's say it's 40%, Jared, okay? And then people will ask me, 40%? I've heard the mail room manager say this. I've heard my mom say this. Who are the 40% of people who like what he's doing, who approve of how he's handling this country? Another element that just dawned on me today is that when they call up a Democrat, when you're a Democrat, you've got the hate has no home here sign. You've got the, you took the Kamala Joe bumper sticker off your car because Lord knows that was even too much to bear. But you've got all this stuff. You're part of this movement. You hate Donald Trump. When a pollster calls you up and says, do you approve of Joe Biden? You're not voting yes because, or you're not saying yes because you actually do. You're saying yes because you need to show your support throughout this tough time for Democrats. You need to stick it to any Republicans out there who are bashing Biden. But the real giveaway is not the approval rating for Joe Biden, because people are voting for him. They're holding their nose and saying, yeah, I approve of what he's doing, as they're watching their 401ks go. That's all well and good. The real poll you need to pay attention to is how many of them want him to run in 2024, because that's where they're being honest. That's where they're crossing their fingers and saying something's got to give here. We can't deal with four more years of this dude. I'm going to get more into this. I want to take your calls. I want to take your theories on what's going on with these polls. 844-500-4242. But first, before we get into any of that, we got to talk about the price of heat and what we're looking at, Jared, for this fall. Because natural gas bills, and I talked a lot about this on Friday, they're going to be $46 higher each month compared to last year. That is a 24% increase. I've actually heard a lot higher in certain areas, due partly to higher gas supply prices. This is just one of the many reasons you need the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater? It's a dual hybrid technology. It will reduce your heating bill every month and save you money. These things are awesome. It really warms you to the bone. Sometimes you get one of these heaters, Jared, they kind of just blow hot air at you. These work very differently.
Yeah, and we've actually talked about this. You know, I have a newborn, and it cost four times what it cost just 2 years ago for heating oil. So we got to scrimp. We got to save. We got to be a little more judicious, if I could use a Gavin Newsom term, about how we distribute the heat. So the Gen 40 heater is great because it's safe around the baby, and it can heat up a room so we can supplement the oil that we use, and our oil lasts longer. You can set your thermostat to a nice temperature, and you can move the Gen 40 from room to room even. So whatever room you're in, you can supplement without having to burn through oil.
And this is what I always tell people about the Gen 40 heater. When you really think about it, you're not often using your entire house. Most people have one, two, three at most rooms that they're really hanging out in. And so there's no need to pay a massive bill when you could just have certain areas of the house warmed up that you're using. It makes a lot of financial sense. Right now, you can save $50 with code GRACE50 at EdenPureDeals.com. And I just want to point out for people that last year, Eden Pure sold out of their Gen 40 heaters. So you need to order early while supplies last, because I got a lot of emails last year from people who were not happy with me. I'm warning you now. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code word GRACE50. Save today. Be prepared for the cold temps. Save money. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word GRACE50. Shipping is free. We'll be right back with the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. You probably recognize her from the thing.
Of your acting?
Yeah.
In the kitchen cooking?
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
The boat movie.
Yeah. There's no boat. There's no kitchen.
You never cooked chicken Alfredo with a friend?
No.
This is the, who is it again? Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. And we are taking calls on what you make of these polls. And you know, I was on WGAN this morning and I was asked by Matt about some of these polls, and it kind of dawned on me that we're still talking about polls even after 2016. Like, if there ever was a nail in the coffin of why polls are dumb, you'd think it would be 2016. And there are a few I like. I like Trafalgar. I like Suffolk polls usually. But just because I like them doesn't mean they're even accurate. And we just always go back to this. And the media picks out ones that they like and runs with that and hopes that it's going to kind of pick up momentum. So now what we've been hearing is that the overturning of Roe versus Wade is what's really, really driving people to vote. And, you know, it's really making headway for liberals when it comes to younger voters. And I don't see it. In fact, I want to play for you Robert Cahaley from Trafalgar Group. And this is what he had to say. Cut 7.
This year, our fear is that people are not going to be polled that are Trump supporters because all that Biden has said and all the apparent attacks and people coming after them, and they're just hesitant to even participate. I think everybody will underestimate them, including us. Republican turnout will exceed even what we predict.
Yeah, and Biden, even so, is underwater with everyone, according to new polls. This is an ABC Washington Post. Is it ABC Washington Post poll? And
no bias there.
Yeah. So really, if you're not doing well in the ABC Washington Post poll, things are looking pretty rough. Overall, the approval rating for the president is 39%. His approval rating from Black Americans is 62%. That is very, very low for a Democrat president. And as Red State puts it, this is Nick Arama, one of my favorite writers at Red State. Biden is underwater with everyone. He's underwater.
Oh, boy.
He's underwater with Blacks and Hispanics. Only 62% approval with Black voters for a Democrat. That's a death knell for Democrats.
And I'm finished.
And we have more sound that we're going to get to regarding Jen Psaki. She's back on TV. And she's not singing the praises of Joe Biden like she used to. But something I want to get into here, Jared, before we really focus on the calls and focus on the poll numbers and what people make of it. And if you want to weigh in, it's 844-500-4242. But Liz Cheney is back. She took a little break after her landslide defeat. And she's back now. And I, of course, thought that this was press doing the media tour for January 6th committee season 2. It turns out she has a new person that she's focused on. Typically, if you tune in to Liz Cheney at any given moment, she will be talking, or her dad will be talking, about Donald Trump and how Donald Trump is the worst person ever.
Everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Now, what you can count on, though, is whoever Liz Cheney is talking about, whatever Republican she's fixated on, and I think she's actually started a pack, Jared, to take down Republicans. Certain Republicans. I'm sure certain ones are okay. Like, she's not going to go after Mitt Romney. She's not going to go after the compassionate, decent Republicans. She's just going to go after the Republicans who have better approval ratings and who know how to fight back against Democrats, which you're not getting invited to any cocktail parties by being one of those Republicans. But now she's going after Carrie Lake, which, if the polls didn't tell us enough, Carrie Lake is a much better candidate than Katie Hobbs. And I'll tell you why right now. She's willing to debate. How's that? She's willing to debate, which is a great thing when you're running for office. But when we come back, I want to play for you some sound from Liz Cheney, because she doesn't like Carrie Lake, and she's going to make it her mission to make sure that election deniers don't win their positions. And I guess that means that she'll be also going after Stacey Abrams and other Democrats who are also, I would consider those Democrats election deniers too. But if you looked up election deniers, does it only count for people who denied the 2020 election?
Because, yeah, that was the only free, fair, most transparent election in the history of time.
Because where is all this passion for people who denied the 2016 election, or for people who denied their gubernatorial race election? Just some questions that can come up when you start talking about this. 844-500-4242. Also, when we get back, we're going to talk about the polls. We're going to talk about Nancy Pelosi getting booed at the Global Citizens Music Fest in New York City. And Trump's alleged comments about Ron DeSantis are causing quite a stir today. Get on the lines now. It's 844-500-4242. Plus, a crime wave is still spiking across this country. We're going to talk about it all when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, I do want to play this sound for everybody. If you're just tuning in to the Grace Curley Show, we have some sound for you from Liz Cheney. She, as Red State puts it, appears to still be living in fantasy land. She was at an event, and I got to play this cut for you, and then we'll react to it. This is cut six.
I am going to do everything I can to make sure that Carrie Lake is not elected.
So, does that include campaigning for Democrats if that's what it takes?
Yes.
It does. Okay. Okay.
And Carrie Lake's team put out, says the woman that couldn't even win her own election race. Bless your heart, Liz. Bless your heart indeed. I mean, hating Trump is a cottage industry. The clapping you heard from those people, the clapping, the woo-hoo-hoo, that is the sound of strange new respect. It won't last a long time because at the end of the day, she's still Liz Cheney and Democrats will always hate her, just like they'll always hate me. You know, I'm not saying it is in a mean way. I'm just saying they're not going to change. You might be benefiting them right now, of course. You're using money to try to, you know, to try to ruin Republicans. So of course they're going to be like, yeah, good job, Liz. But it's not going to last. It's fleeting. But hating Trump is a cottage industry. You can make bank. You can have a whole career just hating Donald Trump and whatever new fad comes along with that. If the new trend is hating Carrie Lake, then sure. That's the new fad. And that works. What she should really do is team up with the Lincoln Project and do kind of a crossover scenario. Like, you know how sometimes makeup brands will do that with a celebrity? So it will say, if it's Chanel, it will say like Chanel times or X Kylie Jenner. And that will be like a duo, a collaboration. They should do the Lizkin Project and they can pool together. They're all their bright ideas. 844-500-4242. Raymond, you're first up today on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Raymond.
How you doing, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say that my whole family pretty much is Democrats, and they all can't understand why I vote the way I vote. And my mother actually said to me last week, well, what has a Republican done for you? And I said, well, a lot of things. Basically, it's the party of basically being self-sufficient and being responsible. And I said to her that Caroline Leavitt, who is probably one of the future stars of the party, we need more people like her. I can't wait to cast my ballot for her.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know what, Raymond, it's an interesting question. You know, what have Republicans done for you? I would argue, and the bar is so low for what I expect out of politicians, but here's one for your mom. How about just acknowledging reality? Like, that for me is a big win. The fact that Republicans can say we have a problem at the border, the fact that Republicans can say inflation is not transitory, it's something we need to address, the fact that Republicans can say it's not going to be a soft landing, we're all in for a recession, just that kind of acknowledgement of what's happening is better than what the Democrats are doing. Am I saying that that's enough? No. But if we're comparing it to the other side, then it's a lot better than that. It's a lot better than living in this green unicorn utopia where Rome is burning and Pete Buttigieg is talking about electric vehicles. Yeah, I would take...
How dare you!
I would take the Republicans over that any day. And I do want to hammer home to people that in most scenarios, the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. Because if you haven't learned anything from Joe Manchin, from Kristen Sinema, the Democrats stick together. That is one thing they're very good at. And we just can't afford it anymore. We can't afford the crime. We cannot afford what's happening at our border. We cannot afford the inflation. But we really cannot afford this rejection of reality. We can't afford this lunacy that they've all convinced themselves works. We can't afford to keep shooting ourselves in the foot and killing our own energy independence to try to make a tiny group of people in this country happy, who want to feel good about themselves and put lawn signs out and you know, sit on the highway and take out barrels of cement and block traffic. That is not what we're doing anymore. We just can't go on like this. And I want to point something out as we discuss this. If you want to call in like Raymond, it's 844-500-4242. It's interesting, though. It's always interesting to me when people in your immediate family think so differently of politics, because I always wonder how Raymond became conservative. Because nowadays I see, this is a little off topic, but you know, I'll drive by my neighborhood and, you know, see everybody, and the signs are, I live in Milton, the signs are everywhere. You know, all the woke signs, the defund the police signs, everything. And I just think, especially the younger generation, there's no way that there's even a slightly conservative voice in their household, in their schools, in their universities, in their workspaces. So I do worry about that. I don't think there's going to be a lot of Raymonds in 50 years who are saying, well, you know, my family's liberal, but I'm conservative. I think that's kind of going to go by the wayside. Something I want to talk about here, though, is while Nancy Pelosi is talking about saving the planet and getting booed, while she talks about the $369 billion climate bill, you've got, like I mentioned, Pete Buttigieg talking about Teslas or whatever electric vehicle he's supporting at the moment. You've got Kamala Harris discussing community banks in the community that help the community and serve the community, and their banks in the community, and the community goes to the banks inside that community. And now you got the Fed now bracing Americans for a hard landing from inflation. Brace for impact, as Joe Biden might say. And then you also have crime statistics, like 93 people were murdered in Minneapolis last year. And according to CNN, that's just a few shy of the total killings in 1995, when the city earned the nickname Murderapolis. I know.
Yeah, it's not the best.
I know. I actually was trying to figure out how to say it in a way that actually sounded like Minneapolis, but it doesn't really roll off the tongue. But either way, historic numbers. And then you look at stories like a Wawa over the weekend just ransacked in Philadelphia, just completely ransacked. There's just no law and order. You have San Francisco has become unlivable for most people, partially because of the rent and partially because of the open air drug markets and how dangerous it is. There have been over 2 million illegal immigrants encountered at the U.S. border in 2022. Now, these are problems Democrats cannot run from. And they can't talk their way out of it. They can't pivot. They can't swerve. So when they compare you, like Hillary Clinton did, to Nazis, or when they compare Trump to Hitler or DeSantis to Stalin, or when Joe Scarborough talks about how Jesus would have been pro-abortion, it's shiny objects. It's projection. And God willing, this projection and these distractions will fall flat on their face in November. Because I have to imagine people are waking up to this. What do you think, Jared? Do you think people are waking up?
I think they have to be, because you can hate Donald Trump all you want for whatever reason, and people do. You can hate Republicans for whatever reason that you want to, but you cannot, like you were saying, objective reality, you cannot look at the past, let's just say 2 years, the past 2 years of Democrat power top to bottom and think that anything is good. Nothing is good.
Well, let's play Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki's talking about this, and I was very surprised to hear her say this. This was on NBC's Meet the Press. This is Jen Psaki, cut one.
Democrats, if the election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side, then they're going to win. Mm-hmm. If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose, and they know that.
But why will they lose, Jen? You worked for the president, and you told us about how great of a job he was doing every day. What do you mean? Can you elaborate on that? I also love how Republicans are the more extreme. Do I need to remind everyone every single
since
day
the Civil War
that a teenager was run down in North Dakota because some nut thought he was an extreme Republican? Turns out he wasn't political at all. But this nutcase thought he was a Republican, so he murdered him. Allegedly murdered him. And that's not extreme. That's totally fine. A Las Vegas journalist was killed by a disgruntled Democrat official. I'm sorry, an official who ran as a Democrat. That's my favorite euphemism of them all. That's not extreme. Oh, that doesn't compare to the MAGA extremists who want to bring down inflation and want gas to be cheap. The people who support the mean tweets from the Orange Man are not nearly as bad as all of the criminals who are running people down in their cars because they disagree with their politics. Or the guy who jumped over the fence and punched Rand Paul and collapsed his lung. Or the Bernie bro who shot up a congressional baseball game. I'm really supposed to believe that the Republicans are the more extreme? It's just BS. Let's go to Ernest. You're next on the Grace Curley Show. Deadly Ernest. Go ahead, Ernest.
Good afternoon. In regards to that Liz Cheney siding with the Democrats, she needs to realize that all she is to them is a useful idiot. The minute they're done with her, they'll be gone. The same thing they did with anybody else, whether it be Fetterman, whether it be Cuomo. The minute they're done with them, they're gone. I mean, I forget the word, but in Russia, it's called a useful idiot.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I always bring this up, but I do think it's pretty poignant, is when Megyn Kelly was invited onto NBC, and NBC liked Megyn Kelly for a little bit because she wasn't a big Trump supporter, and she went at Trump at the debates, and he went at her, and yeah, you all know the story. But she went to NBC, she signed this mega, mega, mega million-dollar contract, and someone interviewed Tommy Lahren on the street outside of Fox, and she said something like, they're always going to hate you, Megyn. And Megyn Kelly learned that when she was fired for not wearing blackface like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, but for talking about blackface, she was fired. For asking questions about blackface, she was fired. And so she learned that. And since then, she has a podcast, a very successful podcast, and I think she embraces the fact that you're not going to be liked. I was watching that show Succession yesterday, and Logan Roy, who's like supposed to be loosely based off the Murdochs and all that stuff, he said to somebody, and he's terrible in the show. I mean, he's just a horrible person. But he said, he was talking about one of his underlings, Carl, and he said, Carl likes to be liked. And that's a real problem. Or he said something like that. And I thought, it's true as a Republican, especially as a well-known Republican, if that can be an Achilles heel, if you want to be liked, if you want that strange new respect, if you crave the New York Times editorial that's going to say that you're compassionate and decent and, you know, use you for emotional manipulation and then discard you a few months later, then you're of no use to the Republican Party. You're of no use to regular people. We don't care how popular you feel. We want you to win. We want you to stand up for us. We don't care that you go home at night and you say, honey, look, the Washington Post likes me. They really like me. I don't care. That's not why I'm voting for you. That was a great thing about Donald Trump. He thrived off not being liked. That's a strength. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Stay on the line. I want to keep talking about this. Have you looked at your retirement account lately? Probably not. You're probably avoiding looking at it like the plague because for a lot of people, it's been rough. Wall Street is in a downturn, and it's taking your retirement money with it. I mean, you've got inflation, Biden, recession, higher interest rates, Biden. The fact is that we're in a financial storm, and the global economy is weakening. I talked about this, how the Fed is now prepping people. They're saying, well, the soft landing could be turning into a hard landing. So you need to hedge to protect your retirement. You don't want to lose any more money. That's why our friends at Monetary Gold would like to send you two free guides, 5 money mistakes that could crush your retirement in the next 6 months, and the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. These free guides will show you how to protect your assets and get through this financial crisis. Did you know that during the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value 2,300%? And today you can now buy physical gold or silver and roll over your IRA or 401k retirement account. Gold and silver can help you diversify your risk and protect your retirement in these uncertain times, and that's what everybody everybody needs. So call Monetary Gold now, and you can get two free guides at 800-267-6500. That's 800-267-6500. 800-267-6500, or go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. One more time, it's 800-267-6500. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Call on Grace Curley for family-friendly entertainment.
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
Yes.
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Democrats, if the election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side, then they're going to win. If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose, and they know that.
You know, part of that I don't get, for people who are just tuning in, that's Jen Psaki. What does the I'll say her name thing mean? Because for a while, they weren't saying Trump's name either. He was the former guy until they thought, we need him again. We need to run against him because we can't run on our own record. So we'll start dropping his name every 40 seconds. So is the I'll say her name some sort of brave virtue signaling thing for Democrats?
I'm sure it is because, you know, he who must not be named.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, we're not going to say Marjorie Taylor Greene's name because she's one of those QAnon people.
Oh, it's all so exhausting. Derek, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Derek.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. Enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to get your opinion on who do you think should run in 2024 with Trump as a VP? I'm going to give you my quick thoughts. Either Rick Scott, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, or Ron DeSantis. I want to get your thoughts on that.
If I had to choose between those people?
Yes, ma'am.
Ron DeSantis, all day, every day. Not even a question. I would. Nikki Haley is so far down on my list. It's actually insane. I liked Mike Pompeo when he was in the Trump administration, but no, I don't really have any interest in seeing him run for president. Rick Scott's a good guy. I like Rick Scott, but I think the strongest person there, without a doubt, is Ron DeSantis. And the craziest thing is that this latest story, and maybe, Derek, maybe you just gave me a nice little segue in the next hour to talk about this, is that Trump, according to reports, was ripping Ron DeSantis. And some of the words used to describe him were fat, phony, and whiny, allegedly. We will read this when we come back, and we'll take people's calls. And I think it might be a good day to do a little bit of DeSantis versus Trump conversation, because we haven't done that in a while, and it definitely is on everyone's mind. I mean, the political move that DeSantis made in regards to Martha's Vineyard and what he did there, it does make me think that he's setting the stage for 2024. And it's also telling that a lot of Democrats who are also thinking of 2024 are attacking DeSantis and not Donald Trump. That also makes me think that inside DC, they think DeSantis is gearing up for a run. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Besides inflation, what's your top voting issue for the midterms?
All right, so I said besides inflation because there's no doubt that inflation usually, and not just in our poll, in general, tops people's list of concerns. In fact, Byron York has a good piece in the Washington Examiner where he says inflation drives our politics in 2022 and maybe 2024 too. Like, this could be an issue that follows Joe into 2024. So with that being said, Jared, what are my options?
The border, crime, education, or abortion?
I would say the border, because the border for me has always been, it's always encompassed what's wrong with the Democrats. You know, they value making themselves feel good and feel virtuous and feel compassionate over actually doing things that would be good for this country. And they can't handle the heat when they're in the kitchen. They can't handle the heat. And what I mean by that is when you send illegal aliens to Martha's Vineyard, liberals can't handle it. They freak out. So I'm going to say the border for me.
74% of the audience agrees with you. They say the border. 20% say crime, 4% for education, and 3% for abortion.
Chuck Todd has an interesting idea as far as the border goes, and we will get to that in journalism and the news in the next hour. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. We got a ton more show to get to, and we're thrilled to be here at the start of the week. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.